We've talked on this program a lot about the region's interests in attracting immigrants and refugees. They help grow local economies, but they also have to assimilate. It can be difficult learning a new language, a brand new culture. There is a public school in St. Louis devoted to 370 children of these newcomers. The K through 10 students come from 27 countries and speak 18 languages. Many come with little education, and for those fleeing war, with psychological wounds. Joining me in studio is Donnie Harris. She is the principal of the Naheed Chapman New American Academy. Donnie, so nice to see you.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
I can't imagine the difficulty of the challenge you face, given the fact you've got all representatives from so many different cultures coming to your school every day. How difficult is it for you?
It's difficult often for the students, and to assimilate, to acquire the English. Some of them come at an older age, and so they have less time to actually acquire the English and try to graduate and get a high school diploma. Changing countries, leaving their families, sometimes their grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends behind, and then adjusting to the U.S. culture, as far as the school, the food, and everything, can be very difficult for them.
What about staff? I mean, I'm thinking of the difficulties that staff members might have dealing with all of these different cultures. There's so much for them to learn.
Mm-hmm. Most of my staff members are ESOL certified. So they have been trained
What is the certification? Excuse me.
Certification, it's teachers to English of speakers of other languages.
Okay.
So there is a certification that comes with being able to teach at our school. We also offer sheltered instructional observation protocol, which is very helpful with teaching students English and helping them to accelerate in the content areas as well. So the teachers that come to me, they're prepared as far as their certification. They choose to come and be a part of our program. It's difficult because you still have a wide range within one classroom. So, for instance, we may have a student who is coming to the United States and perhaps they were in an academic formal educational setting within the last 2 years. They may be proficient in their language. They come to us, it's less of a challenge. They're expected to transfer the proficiency in their first language to English. Then we have students who've had interrupted education, 2 years or more. So they may come to us at 13 and they're in the eighth grade, but they haven't been in school since third grade. There's a big gap just in their education. We also have students who've never been to school. They were born and raised, or they've been in a refugee camp for all of their formal academic years. They come to us without any education. So the good thing is my staff, I think they're experts in differentiation. So,
but to be clear on this, you would have a classroom in which you would have young people from several different countries, several different cultures, several different languages in the same classroom at the same grade level.
Yes, and several different educational backgrounds the same classroom.
I just don't understand how a teacher can cope with that, particularly if the proficiency in English is poor.
So it's done through differentiation and groups. We do differentiated groups. Okay. So within one classroom, I may have six groups, instructional groups, and I scaffold the instruction. So where this student, you know, maybe they can write the sentence. This student, maybe they can only fill in one word. So I do a sentence stem with that student. Maybe another student, I'm actually, the sentence is written and they're tracing over it. So it's differentiated instruction to make sure all of the students. Our goal is that every student will learn, every student will achieve.
But, you know, it's a truism in education that the class can only move as fast as the slowest student. How does that work in your environment?
We're looking for progress. Yeah. It doesn't matter where you are you progressing? So we monitor the progress of each student very closely through various different ways, you know, different maybe testing through the district, teacher-made test, English proficiency test. We monitor the student. We're looking for growth. We're not looking for we're not comparing that one student to a student who's had a formal education their whole time. We might compare that student to another student with a similar background, and we want to see growth. When we test them and they're here, we get a baseline score. Then we test them again and they're here, they have grown, and that's what we're looking for.
So in terms of promotion, you're promoting individual students rather than entire classes. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Each student has a different need, and so for the most part, that's the challenge, but my teachers are able to meet that challenge.
A challenge it is. I'm still having trouble getting my arms around it. I just can't imagine it, but obviously you're the expert and it seems to be working. How many youngsters over the few years that you've been in business, and I call the school Nahid. I heard it that way on some other radio. Is it Nahid or Nahid?
She said Nahed. I knew Mrs. Chapman. She was like a sister
Nahed.
To me.
Okay.
So she always pronounced her name as Nahed. Yes.
Okay. Well, I saw you interviewed on a television program, and they said Nahid. So forgive me. I'll blame it on the I'll blame it on the television people. In terms of graduation rates and moving people on in the few years you've been in business over there, how has that worked, and how have the kids, as they've graduated, gone on?
So our school goes up to extends to 10th grade. Our goal is to transition students within 2 years or four semesters. So we don't graduate anyone from our school. Students are transitioned. So a 9th or 10th grader will transition to three of our excellent St. Louis public schools, such as Gateway, Soldan, or Roosevelt, and they will continue in the ESOL program and graduate. The graduation rate has increased. I don't want to give false numbers, but I would say 75%. Before we had the Nahed Chapman New American Academy, which was formerly the New American Preparatory Academy, which was formerly the International Welcome School. So all of those three names is still one school, one program. Before that, we had many students that would drop out because there were just different issues within the high school. Sometimes the other students weren't used to seeing kids from a different culture, or the students weren't able to assimilate, I guess, or acclimate to the U.S. system within that school, the culture. We, even though we had trained teachers there, it was just different. And I think that is what gave Mrs. Nahed Chapman the vision of having a safe, nurturing environment that could really address all of the needs, social, emotional, and academic needs of each child within this 2-year period and prepare them to be successful as we transition them on to a regular high school.
I'm making a certain assumption here, and that is that many of the youngsters who go through this process learning English oftentimes become interpreters for their parents and become the guiding light, if you will, through this cultural maze that they're facing, that young people are doing that for the parents.
That's true. Students, because they're in school and they're in an environment where they're
learning,
speaking English and learning English with interacting with their teachers and friends in English, because I may have a friend that's Spanish and I speak Arabic, so the way we communicate is in English. So they become more proficient than their parents, and often serve as interpreters for job interviews, going to the doctor, sometimes even for leasing a house or a home, you know, that they do help out. We try to empower parents, though, by having a PTO. The ESOL program is actually having a PTO meeting tonight. It's for the whole district. We kind of specify we have NCNA parents, and we want them to be involved and be empowered. And even though the students are interpreting, you're still the parent. We also have an adult literacy program right on site at Nahed Chapman New American Academy.
Full service operation you've
yes.
got going over there. One of the things I noted in the introduction is the fact that some of these kids do come from war zones and have had very, very tough backgrounds. How about dealing with them? It seems to me that if they're dealing with PTSD and issues like that, that you've got to have specially trained staff to be able to recognize it and deal with it when it surfaces.
We actually applied for a grant to implement a trauma-informed classroom, and we received it, and that is what we're doing. All of our teachers are being trained how to, like, different strategies and methods for working with students with post-traumatic stress syndrome, for de-escalating situations instead of, you know, if a student is angry, how do you get them to de-escalate instead of escalate the situation? Students, we also have Project Safe Space, and that's who's actually doing the training, but they were already working within our school with students ages 5 to 12 and doing small groups within mm-hmm. those students that are referred by teachers or by staff. So that is a concern, and we are we want to be informed, and we want to know strategies and things to do for our right. children when they have a problem. Sometimes it could just be a situation that reminds them of something back home. Even the ringing of a bell can stun a kid and make him think, oh, the last time I heard a noise similar to that, we were being bombed. So there are different yeah. things that trigger.
Sure. One of the things that could trigger issues, I would think, is you have people from diverse cultures where in their home culture there is hostility with other countries, and they may be sitting next to a kid from one of those countries in their classroom, and that could present certain problems. Is that an issue for you at all?
We teach – I tell my children very often that we can be the example of world peace. Mm-hmm. People from all different parts of the world living in peace and harmony. So we talk about unity, oneness, coming here. So – to have a better way of life, coming here to have the opportunity to get an education and to be successful. So whatever was going on back home, leave it back home, because you're here for a better life and there are opportunities and choices here. So we talk about brotherhood and sisterhood, and you're, you know, if you need be positive, I happen to be positive. If you need B positive blood, or if I need B positive blood, it doesn't matter what your language. It doesn't matter what country you came from. It doesn't matter the color of your skin or your religion. Be positive is be positive. And with things like that, children, we come together. So they're friends. I have pictures of friends from all different countries. Yes.
Nonetheless, do these problems pop up from time to time?
We don't have many problems as far as the country, because all of the kids are coming from their country. So, you know, they're the politics or the powers that be in their country may be against this country. But the reason why they're here was because they weren't going along with that. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different. The kids who are coming, their parents were maybe asylees, or their parents were under attack because of the war. And many of them weren't going along with the political powers that be. So they came here for safety.
Nonetheless, you might have a Sunni and a Shia Arab sitting next to each other. They don't get along particularly well. Mm-hmm. You might have an Arab and an Israeli sitting next to each other. But you're confident, and it seems to work for you, that
yes.
you can overcome things of this
yes.
nature.
Yeah. And like I said, I can't recall any recent conflicts that had anything to do with that. Originally, maybe 5 years ago, we had to work a lot. And when you said Shiites and Sunnis, I remember specifically having a situation. At that time, I was the counselor, the ESOL district counselor, and I remember having to deal with that then. But in the last 3 years, we haven't really had that kind of conflict.
You know, they say that that young people and young minds are kind of like sponges. They are capable of learning language much faster than adults are. Do you see that there? Is this – do they respond and learn the English language relatively quickly?
Well, it's kind of like you said, kindergarten students, K-1, 2, all the way through fifth grade, by the time they graduate, they may not even have an accent. Students that come like puberty and up, then it's more difficult for you to grasp the language. So middle school and high school students have a more difficult time than my K-5 students grasping the language. But basically, research tells us 5 to 7, even up to 9 years, but that research is based on students who are already proficient in a language and transferring those skills. So I'm saying more like 9 years for students who don't read and write in their first language, and they don't have any skills to transfer to learn English. They're starting from pre-kindergarten skills.
Any sense of when these youngsters leave the school, are they going back into a community of their own or an immigrant community, or do they interact with native-born, if you will, and therefore assimilate the culture a little more easily that way?
Well, when students leave Nahant Chapman New American Academy, they assimilate when they go to the other high schools because they're not isolated. They are in math classes and with American-born children. I just want to talk about one student who came through our program her freshman year and went on to graduate from Soudan International Studies as the valedictorian and is going on to Truman College. So, yes, she has assimilated. She holds fast to her culture. At the scholarship banquet, she had on beautiful traditional clothing. But does she have friends of other ethnic backgrounds or languages, religious? Yes. So it's important that they do that for business purposes, college, career goals. So, yes, we encourage them to do that.
You are an educator. We often hear that people who come from other cultures are more eager to learn here sometimes than the people who have been here, the native-born, if you will. Do you see that? Are they on a faster track somehow, better students perhaps in some ways?
I think anyone who's been denied an education, when they get the opportunity to do it, then they're more eager. Sometimes we take for granted the opportunities that we have that we've always had. Most students, most people now, they have the opportunity. They have never been without it. In reverse, I think at one time, people were very eager because they were denied an education. So I think that's the difference. If I'm in a war-torn country, I can't go to school because I may get killed, or they're saying I'm not a citizen, I don't have a right to an education. Then when you come and you can go to school, I just think it's exciting, and you understand the opportunity that you did not have previously, as opposed to they're just more academic than Americans. I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah. How about some of the other things that are relatively common in schools, things like bullying, if you will, use of social media? I mean, a lot of schools have problems because the kids are spending more time on the Internet when they're in a classroom than they are listening to the teacher. Is that an issue with you?
Children are children, no matter where they come from in the world, no matter their background, especially teenagers. When they get that to middle school and they become and high school, they're very similar things. Yes, we've caught students on the computer or somewhere else looking at, something they shouldn't look at or whatever. And just as young people today, I have to ask my kids or students to help me do this on my phone. Or, they are very good with technology. So many of them have cell phones. They know how to text, and they have even downloaded some app that helps them translate. So they're teenagers. Bullying, sometimes we have to get them about bullying. Mm-hmm. It's not constant, because I feel that our kids feel that they're more on an equal playing ground than maybe American students feel. Yeah. They're just kind of, we're all kind of on the same level here, and we all need to be successful. Right. So it may be a little less bullying, but yes, we have to collect cell phones. And
still,
yes.
kids will be kids. Yes. There's no question about it.
Yes.
You've got some pretty good partners also over there at the school, haven't you?
Yes.
With people like the Mosaic Project and the construction industry is helpful.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
How are they helping you?
Oh, my goodness. We have about a $200,000 soccer field that was donated by construction and companies. This was very important because we didn't have a play. Soccer is a world language.
Sure.
You play soccer, it doesn't matter what language, what religion, they can do that. So that was very helpful. We talked about post-traumatic stress syndrome and all of that. Being able to get out and play in a safe environment for high school and middle school is very important. High school students don't all have to take PE, and we were kind of limited. Last year, we only had one PE teacher serving K through 10th grade, and PE was limited. So some of our high school students never got out to get that activity, because in high school, you don't get recess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that we have the soccer field, and because of our trauma-informed classroom, we've actually placed some outdoor time during the lunchtime. that the students can get fresh air. So the can I shout out some of the the people? So Gateway Project, Construction Forum St. Louis, Fred Weber, EMLDC, Milestone Weber, St. Louis Composting, Tao Lee Associates, PHL Incorporated. I could go on and on. McCarthy, Leonard and Kammerer, Thomas Industrial Coatings, Midwest Construction, Cole, St. Louis Mosaic,
yes.
DG2 Design, Pace, Bergfeld Recreation and Graphics, Sam Fox School Designs, X-Grass, Midwest Block and Brick, and Bi-State Utilities. All of those played a big part in what we're about to celebrate on next Tuesday,
September 13th. We'll acknowledge all of those people, but next Tuesday is your field dedication.
Yes.
Very quickly, tell me what's going to be involved in that.
Next Tuesday, we will have open house, so we invite the community and parents and students to come and walk through our building and see our classrooms.
It's on South Grand,
right? 1530 through 1616 South Grand. Our school is comprised of five buildings, so go to all of them, plus a beautiful campus, plus additionally a soccer field, which is directly behind the Gallaudet building. So we will have a ceremony and a ribbon cutting activity on Tuesday evening between 4:30 and 6:30. Come, and we'll probably have the ribbon cutting about 5:30.
It sounds like it's going to be.
And a scrimmage. Do you call it scrimmage for soccer? Yes. A game.
Sure.
Yes.
A soccer game.
We'll have a soccer game.
Sounds like it's going to be a colorful evening on September 13th. Field dedication at the Nahed Chapman New American Academy, 1530 South Grand. Donnie Harris, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations. It sounds like a great operation you've got going there.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
Thank you for being with us. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.